Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two on this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from Northwest Pennsylvania. This is a segment that we started to do last week that we want to continue to be able to do each and every Wednesday. And this is the Open Phone Lines Wednesday. We're going to take your calls for the rest of the show. The number is 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944.
If I can jump in here, two things. I just want to tell you about Safeguard. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. Folks, if you have any printing needs, if you have any forms, promotional item needs, if you own a business, if you just want high security checks, whatever, contact Megan Hopp and Safeguard. Mm-hmm. Go to SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. That's SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. They provide superior service for all of their clients, whether you're big client, small client. They're located in the heart of the Midwest, and they service customers throughout the nation. Megan Hopp is the person behind this business. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. Allow Megan and her team of professional designers to create a complete marketing kit for your business, from your high-end security checks and invoices to banners to signs, hats, t-shirts, shirts, everything in between. Go to safeguardmidwest.com/Hagman for all your needs. But let me just say this, and here's what I believe. I believe the Republican National Convention is going to be fraught with problems. I don't believe that Donald Trump is going to be. I don't believe Donald Trump will be allowed to. He's not going to. No ticket. He won't be on the ticket. I believe that the fix is in. I'm not even sure Cruz is going to be on the ticket, to be honest with you.
No, they're using him.
So, yeah, what I believe is going to happen is the Republican establishment, Republican Party, is going to select. Don't forget, it's been telegraphed. Priebus and others have been telegraphing that they pick the nominee, the people don't. I just want to just throw that out there. So you think it's going to get hot this summer? I really do. And if by chance Trump does get it,
that'd be interesting.
I don't think he's going to go the distance.
There's an interesting graphic up on Twitter, some obscure Twitter feed, where it says Ted Cruz and John Kasich are already lost, as neither has the path to 1237 delegates. They're not running to win voters. They're running strictly as co-conspirators to a brokered convention.
Yep. That's
and that is the truth.
And Sanders on the other end is pushing for a contested convention as well at the DNC. Summer 68, move over. Welcome to the summer 2016. It's going to be a riotous summer, I believe. July or June. The RNC, I believe, is what, June?
July.
Or July, 18th through the 21st.
Yeah, so I think so.
Watch out. All right.
Let's just a quick headline. We're going to take phone calls. Americans spend more on taxes than food, clothing, and housing combined. A tax advocacy group on Wednesday revealed that Americans spend more on their taxes than their whole budget for food, clothing, and housing. The Tax Foundation, in its annual report on when the nation as a whole has earned enough to pay its taxes, announced a date as April 24th. And it says Tax Freedom Day gives a vivid representation of how much federal, state, and local tax revenue is collected each year to pay for government goods and services. It's up to 31% of all the income brought in by workers here in the United States. We can get into more of that later. Let's go to the phones as we have a full bank of callers. We're going to go to Troy in South Carolina first. Troy, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug and Joe. That's Connie Lake Troy. Long time no see.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing. I just got three quick things. One, when I saw that Cruz won Wisconsin the other night, the next day, Carl Eve was sitting there on Fox like a cat that swallowed the canary. And that guy's a turd. I'm sorry. Pardon my language. And he's like he said, like he's got it all rigged out that Trump's never going to get it. And, my second question is, that gentleman that worked for the Clintons, are you going to have him back on, or whatever happened to him?
Larry Nichols, actually,
he has
his own show here on Global Star Radio Network, but from what we've been hearing, he is not doing too well health-wise. I'm not sure. I know he's wanting to continue to do the show, and that is based on how he is doing health-wise. They've increased his morphine, and he has some other new health issues that are ongoing. So keep him in your prayers. He's a fighter, but he is continuing to suffer various health issues that are getting worse and worse.
Yeah, I was hoping he's going to expose more on the Clintons. But my other thing was, I'm sure you guys know Pastor T.D. Hale, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear his last thing? Pastor Paul had him on about a dreams and vision that he was given the day after Christmas of 2015, where he said he saw a casket draped in an American flag in a rotunda, and then some doors opened up, and President Obama walked in and was looking at the casket. Then shortly after that, Trump was behind the casket, but he said that God revealed him who's going to get the GOP nomination and who's going to be president. So we're all hanging on pins and needles. And he told Pastor Bagley that Trump would get the nomination for the GOP and that he would be the next president. But when he did, he would be walking into chaos. Now, if you're familiar with his other dreams that he had about Mitt Romney not getting elected and Obama shooting the eagle out of the sky off the Truman balcony, yeah, man, I'm hanging on to see what's going to happen with that.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I personally, at this point, based on my knowledge and my research to this point, combined with my gut feeling, I don't see, if Trump gets a nomination, it would be a third party write-in. It would be probably by revolt. And I don't mean necessarily actual literal revolt, but some sort of, left-handed turn. That's just my view, and I certainly reserve the right to be incorrect, but I just don't see it taking place. And I think I think it's all done. I mean, I really do. But it'd be really interesting to see, because I think it's all gamed out. I mean, it's all gamed out ahead of time, and even if Trump does, let's just say Trump does, or any non-establishment person gets that nomination, do you think that they're going to be permitted, for example, to just make the changes? And it's only one person as well, you know, subject to the Constitution. So it's going to be interesting to see nonetheless. But I think that the end story here is that we are seeing the end game play out, I believe.
Well, I know this, Daddy Joe. I might be going up your way sometime towards Christmas. My dad's going to go deer hunting. I might be going with him. I sure like to visit with you guys. But I know that my family, paid a lot of blood and sacrifice. We moved here before the 13 colonies. And you can look up White Peter Klingensmith. White Peter Klingensmith. He was captured by the Indians, him and his brother. His brother escaped, but he was raised by the Iroquois. And he was made chief of one of the Iroquois nations. You can look it up. You'll see it on the Internet. But my family's got a lot of history. And I forget the name of that ship you guys have up there in Lake Erie. They made a ship.
Niagara.
Yeah, the Niagara. My family members went up there during when all that was going on and participated in guarding all the shipbuilders when they were building the ships to fight the British. And we got a lot of history there in northwestern Pennsylvania and Westmoreland County and all that. But I just know Doug and Joe, it sickens me. And I sit there and I watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson just to see, my God, is it going to come to this again? Are we going to try to take back our nation, or are we just going to fall? And then I'm always reminded, no one's going to straighten it out until Jesus Christ returns.
That's right.
Amen. Troy, right on the money, brother. Look us up when you're on your way up. Let us know. Give us some advance time. All right. Troy, thanks for the call, buddy.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Have a good night.
And don't forget, folks, the temple, the demonic arches rising in New York and London, April 19th. We're seeing the welcome signs for the Antichrist. Can you hear the Antichrist's footsteps? Two events you should watch out for taking place simultaneously on the 19th of April in New York and London. Michael Snyder has written about this. Of course, Joe, you've talked about this on that day, the reproductions of the arches stood in front of the Temple of Baal. And you talked about this earlier.
In Palmyra, in Syria.
Yep. They're coming. So April 19th is the first day of a 13-day period known as the Blood Sacrifice to the Beast that culminates on the called High Holiday, Holy Day of Beltane on May 1st, May Day. April 19th is also the date of the Feast of Moloch, which is the ancient Canaanite god, that small g, of course, that is repeatedly vilified in the Old Testament. And some believe Moloch is represented by the owl at the Bohemian Grove. Don't forget April 19th, Waco Massacre, April 19th, 1993, April 19th, 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing,
yep.
April 20th of 99, the Columbine, and April 16th, Virginia Tech, the 16th of 2013 was the...
Boston.
Thank you. Yep. So this week, this time period that we're coming into, stay close to this show, stay close to shows like this, and understand that we are entering into a period of occult.
Potential chaos and occult high holidays.
That's right.
Next up is Ron in Connecticut. Ron, thanks for calling. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Recently, I heard you talk about the election, Doug, and I had that same question, and nobody seems to have an answer about the eligibility, you know, natural-born citizen, whereas I agree with you. Cruz was born of a Cuban father in Canada, and Rubio was born of Cuban parents, and the rule, as I understand it, is you have to have a U.S. father, and you have to be born in the U.S. Is that what you think?
You have to have both parents, natural-born citizens.
Well, right. You know what? Rather than get into this, because they're okay. Look, they're gonna, Ron, there are arguments about this, about what constitutes a natural-born citizen. At issue here is the constitutional definition of a natural-born citizen. It doesn't mean that somebody, because somebody could be born on the steps of the White House and not be a natural born citizen. Okay? Somebody could be born, according to the Constitution. And there are litmus tests for the natural born citizen clause. So, of course there's this intellectual and constitutional argument about what constitutes a natural born citizen. I would urge you to do your own research on that, because it's not as clear cut.
All right.
You know,
the other thing you just brought up was the Ball monuments that are coming to London and in New York. Now, you know, what I've seen, I'll just give you a couple of things here that I've seen in the last, say, ever since Obama was elected, actually. I knew that was a problem when he did come in. And ever since he's been a part of this, I've seen in the, you know, every, it's being, we're being, the U.S. is being encroached upon in a number of different ways, financially, through the economics, through a vast spending plan with no end in sight, and also, you know, Muslims, because the Obama is a Muslim, is my belief, you know, they're getting special treatment, even to the point that they're being, you know, ushered into this United States without any checks and balances. And I'll tell you, we're in for, just like Donald Trump said in a speech he said tonight, we're in for some big problems as a result of that, unless it, unless that stops. So we have it spiritually from, you know, from these, I call demons, and, you know, that are coming into the country, and it's evident in those. You know, do you know if that's going to be a permanent installation in Times Square, or is it just going to be only for a short period of time?
It's going to be a permanent installation.
That's unbelievable to me. I mean, they say it's a historical thing, but I think anybody in their right mind knows it's a spiritual demonic monument. I mean, that's so obvious to anybody that's even, you know, even looks at it. So there's so many areas in the United States. My hope is in Donald Trump at this point, because from what I can see, that's why he's getting so much resistance in his efforts to become president, because everybody will lose their gravy train cash in, you know, on the gravy train, and then being all the control and the income and all the things that they shouldn't be getting. He at least has a possibility. And I agree with, I think Doug said, you know, in the past, that if Trump makes it to the White House, if he does become president, that will be a big, I think that would be a big step forward, because these people are ruthless. Look at Hillary and her husband and what they've done to people that got in their way. Well, you know, Trump is getting in the way, from what I can see, based on the resistance he's getting nationwide and even worldwide. Even the Pope's on his case, you know. You know that he's doing some good as a result of that. He's stirring the pot like nobody's stirred it before. I pray for him and his family, because I'll tell you what, they are in serious trouble if they, if, that's the way I see it right now. He's making such big necessary changes, or at least he proposes to. They'll do, they'll fight him in every way they can. You see that, you know, and it's just, for me, I'm a little bit afraid for him and his family, but I'll tell you what, this was certainly needed, because at least it's getting people to discuss it, and, you know, such as on your program. So I'll sign off here, but I just wanted to say thanks for what you do.
Thank you,
Mr. Ron. And thanks for the call. God bless you. You have a great night. We're going to move next to Michael in Michigan. We got Michael, Sean, Joe, and Priscilla. Michael, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, it's on your mind.
I wanted to say that I'm recently awake to, you know, what's going to happen with the fallen angels and the, you know, quote-unquote alien invasion. You know, I was always awake to the truth, but I never understood this part of it. And, you know, as a Christian who's always continually prayed, you know, God, open my eyes, and kept that open mind and willingness to toss anything out of the side, you know, anything, any doctrine that I've learned, you know, willing to toss it out of the side, or toss it to the side for the willingness of the truth. And when you have that heart spirit, you know, you can really, God takes you to the truth, and it's just so amazing to see. And I want to thank you guys for everything that you do, and I'm just grateful for it, so.
Well, thank you. And you know, spread the word. Spread the word. Spread the word about this program. But also spread the word about the truth. You know, Michael, you're a truth seeker, and you're also a truth teller. So get as many people as you can to start waking up people, and, you know, help us out.
I'm disabled and tossed on a... I'm disabled in level 7 pain. I've basically been left to die in my apartment, and I have no one that really takes care of me, and I have to pay people for help, and it's difficult. You know, you can sit and scream the truth as loud as you want. There's only so many people that'll listen. I recently just started making some YouTube videos about some things, and I had a question, but I also wanted to state a few other things, if you don't mind, real quick.
Sure.
Something that I have seen from extensive amount of studying, as far as what's been going on in the world and what the word has to say, I honestly believe Trump has the Antichrist spirit of destruction upon him from everything that I see. And I've done a video on it, and I lay out the stuff that I know. And he is here. He is a plant. He has a specific purpose from the Illuminati, you know, and their whole purpose is to bring about destruction, you know. And when you look at, you know, like CERN, and, you know, there's two other ones here that I want to mention that I don't know if you guys know about that are in the U.S., called Grand Haven and then Tevatron. And the Tevatron one isn't in use right now, but that's what they say. I highly doubt that's the case. You know, there's a lot of demonic things that are taking place right now, and we really need to be willing to toss anything that, you know, we've formed a belief on out for, you know, for God's truth, you know, by allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts and minds. You know, I was listening a few nights ago, or I think it was maybe last night, where you had that caller on where he was talking about the crater that hit in the side of the earth, and he was talking all about that stuff. And, you know, you were reading a comment on, you know, how people, they're so quick to say that, no, it goes against the word, I'm not believing it, versus saying that you don't realize how infiltrated we've really been. You know, and when people don't really understand the magnitude of everything, it's so easy to get that judgmental spirit, and then you shut off. And then as soon as you shut off, you can't see the truth. You know, and that's what people have to be willing to do. They have to be willing to throw anything to the side for the sake of God's truth. Let God be true and everything a liar. You know, and does that mean yourself? You know, and that's what we all have to say. You know, we don't have that heart spirit. We're not willing to be made a liar, because we always think that we know what's right, and we always think we know what's truth. You know, and instead of letting God's word be truth. So.
Now, you said something very important there, Michael, which is we, as a people of believers, for the most part, are not open to correction from the Holy Spirit, let alone from each other. And especially from the Holy Spirit. And that is a big hindrance in our walk with the Lord. And we need to pray for a change in the minds and the hearts of believers, that we can and are willing to be corrected by the Holy Spirit and by His will. And until that happens, you know, we're going to continue to run into this hard-heartedness and Pastor Langford says, you know, the stiff-necked people we are. And it's very true. We don't want to be wrong, like you said. And so we close ourselves to that correction.
Yeah, it's just amazing how much we shut off and how much we actually prohibit God from working in our lives and, you know, allowing His, you know, fruit to manifest in us, you know, and, you know, produce the life of Christ. That, you know, people just don't. They miss it by so much, yet it's right at fingertips. The other question I have is, where do you guys fit the Book of Enoch? Now, from my last studying, you know, like right now, like I can't even pick up the Bible, like seriously, because of the, like, it's so hard to pick up weight. Like I literally, that's how much pain I'm in, you know. So like I try to listen online and then I just fall asleep, so it's like I only can get so much in. But from what I last remember, you know, it didn't line up with the Word of God. Now, knowing what I know now and understanding what I understand now, and I'm starting to question a lot more, not as far as the Word, but I do question the Word, but not as, you know, like, the blood of Jesus, that's 100%, you know, that's the only way we can be saved is by the blood of Christ. But as far as how much has Satan corrupted and perverted the Word, I think that's an honest look that we all need to really, an honest thing that we all need to really take a look at. Because I remember from my last studying, I had a Greek Bible in front of me, and it was by J.P. Morgan Green. I think that was the guy's name. And anyway, one of his newer versions didn't line up with one of the older ones that I had. And I'm like, God's Word isn't going to change. You know, and that always had that little question in my mind, like, how much else has been changed? And now seeing what I'm seeing and just everything that's happening, it's like, man, when these fallen angels happen, you know, I don't think we're really prepared. We haven't discussed it. You know, that's one thing I think another topic too, you know, that we all need to discuss is like, what are we going to do when this happens? You know, because we're going to die for our faith. As soon as we do, you know, stand up and preach the blood of Jesus, we're going to be obliterated. You know, so
if,
I mean,
if I can comment on your question about Enoch, I actually have right in front of me. Whoops, I have the book of Enoch right in front of me. I was actually looking at it before the show started today, and it's always been part of the Ethiopian canon. And there are three different books of Enoch. Now, the first book is the one that comes from the Ethiopia canon, and it is very accurate. Now, one thing that I have not found, you know,
I mean, historically, it has a historical value.
It has a historical value, but in the Bible, it talks about in a few places, it talks about that Enoch prophesied,
right?
And he was a prophet, and it refers to Enoch and his prophecies in more than one place in the Bible. So what my advice would be for people to read the book and to pray about it, because it's not for man to determine what is or what is not the word of the Lord. It's for the Lord to...
Oh, I'm not sure about that, right?
No, man is not
determined. We're supposed to be able to know what's truth and what's not truth. You know, and there's 100% different, you know, definitive truth, and then there's not, you know, and it's different if you go into a book knowing that, you know, hey, there may be, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you kind of just have to have discernment versus this is God-breathed, God-inspired word, you know, because I do believe that there are, you know, there are certain 100% truths that cannot be taken away, and I think we need to recognize that.
Absolutely.
But I believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. It's a literal word of God, and I mean, that's it, period.
What version?
I get your argument here. No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, I totally understand that.
This can go even on the Torah. You know what I mean? It goes, you can go beyond, because there's so much perversion that's happened.
Of course.
That's why I say, like, with you think about the sea lion and how perverted and how corrupted Satan has tried to, you know, do the ultimate seed, but, you know, as far as, like, with the Word of God, and, you know, there's, from day one, you know, it started in the Garden of Eden, and it started even before then up in heaven. You know what I mean?
I totally understand that, and I'm not trying to argue with you. I totally understand you're saying. What version? Because obviously the New King James Version has got deliberate omissions and problems. Obviously not the Queen James Version Bible. There is such a thing, not the Satanic Bible, so what version? That's a great question. Can we get back to, the most literal word of God that we can? Certainly we can. Some people, you know, pick up a Geneva Bible. Do you think you can read it? Geneva, for example. The Geneva Bible. Right. Okay. Which is, you know, so I understand your question, I understand it. I get what you're asking. However, I will look at the King James Version Bible, the standard King James Version Bible, and use that as a standard, and use an exhaustive concordance as well as the attempt to get as far back into the translation of various verbs and other terms in the Bible. Look, I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. All I know is I'm an investigator and a researcher, and all I know is the Word of God to me is literal. The Bible is the literal Word of God, but you do have to do your own research in terms of the meaning of some of the terms. So, I mean, you know.
I wasn't arguing with you, just so you know. I wasn't arguing with you one bit. And even from what you said the other day, you know, where you said people can't even have a discussion. You know, and that's what we should be able to do. We should all be able to, like, bounce ideas off each other and share, you know, what we think. There's no, you know, I'm not saying there's no wrong answer, but there's no, you know, as far as discussion-wise and sharing our opinion, there's no wrong answer because it's what we believe, you know, and then we share truth with one another and with what we believe is truth, and then, you know,
sure,
allow God's word to sort through that. That's all we can do.
That's right, and I'm sure I'm going to get emails on this and saying, "Oh, you know, you're a fool," but meaning me, you know, but it's not that hard. I mean, we can discuss issues, the non-salvation issues, like adults and with intellectual honesty, and we can. I have no problem with that. I think Pastor Krohn talked about that, didn't he?
Yes,
you know, when he was on. So yeah, so I get that. And what gets me, caller, is not calls like, I mean, what gets me are these Christians who never have brought or they don't minister, they don't attempt to raise other people up. All they do is act as the Christian police and criticize. And
yeah,
you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So, period. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. That's very, very true.
Michael, good call, sir.
Thank you. And please, people come look at my YouTube videos and type in, does Trump have the Antichrist spirit? Because I'm trying to wake Christians up on this, because so many are being led astray just like they were with Obama deception. It's the same thing with Trump. People want a movie star politician, and they're not seeing the truth behind this as far as what the Word of God says.
What's your YouTube channel?
Michael Grace, that's the name of my YouTube channel. But you'll
Michael
have to
Grace.
Type in.
Okay.
Yeah, but as far as just to bring it up, because there's a lot of Michael Graces, I would just type in, does Trump have the Antichrist spirit, and mine should pop up.
You know, that's a legitimate question. Just getting back to your original intent here, that's a legitimate question, because could he, as a matter of fact, be... don't forget the landscape, geopolitical landscape of pre-war Germany back in the 30s when Hitler came to power. And I'm not making a comparison between Trump and Hitler. Please don't
yeah.
put me there. But just think about that. Everyone is looking for this nationalism, this pride. And are we seeing that today? So very good point.
They're not seeing, I mean, when you break down what he says, I'm like, cause I'm trying to explain to people, all I do is lay and watch this guy day in and day out, word for word, and I have a photographic memory, and I'm hearing this stuff, the things that he is saying, and I'm like, you just lied, you know, 2 hours ago. You know, and I'm sitting here, you know, looking through all of this, and, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can in my pain to put out some of these videos and, you know, wake people up to the truth on it. And there was a lady by the name of Angel White. She broke down a mural in the Bank of America, and she honestly believes by her research, or his, sorry, it's a guy, I keep calling him a her, by his research, that it lines up with what Donald Trump is. And it's scary, you know, and when you look at everything he is as a whole, and as far as the Illuminati stuff and what he throws up and what he says and what he does, he screams the New World Order. That's, you know, and I don't understand how so many people can't see that, but they are, you know, they're so, I don't want to see our brethren fall, you know, because they're getting caught up in this snare, and they don't realize that our elections are bought and paid for. We don't have a vote, and they've admitted we don't have a vote. You know, and I heard the last caller, and I'm not trying to criticize anyone, but, you know, I mean, at this point, when you understand everything, it's almost foolishness to think that we have any say, because, I mean, we have been so infiltrated that, you know, the New World Order is coming, you know, and the...
It's here.
We need to be really prepared for what is headed our way, and you know, meet up with brothers and sisters in Christ and create a game plan and really figure this stuff out. You know, sit down on, you know, on a Sunday or whatever and get everything lined up, because man, when it happens, it's going to catch everyone off guard, and so many are going to be asleep, and we're going to need to be able to scream it from the rooftops.
Michael, thank you so much for your call, bro.
Amen. Thanks, right, Michael. You have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on next to Sean in North Carolina. Sean, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, man.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, these are dark times we live in, so I kind of plan to call you guys tonight and jot it down some notes, if you don't mind me reading them off, and then
no, go ahead.
It'll seem like a mixed bag, and then we can tackle them one at a time.
All right.
I want to start out with Luke 22, 36 through 38 of the King James Version. It says, "Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough." And I was thinking about that, and to me, this would be our Second Amendment right given to us straight from Christ himself. And going a little bit further, I get this information from Constitution.org. What the Second Amendment also does is recognize the right, power, and duty of able-bodied persons, originally males but now females also, to organize into militias and defend the state. It effectively recognizes that all citizens have military and police powers, and the able-bodied ones, the militia, also have military and police duties, whether exercised in an organized manner or individual in a crisis. Able-bodied is a term of art established by English common law at the time the Constitution was adopted, and is the only qualification besides citizenship on what constitutes the militia. While not well-defined in modern terms, it is somewhat broader than just able-bodied. Implicit is also able-minded and virtuous. In other words, persons might be excluded who were physically able to bear arms, but who were mentally and morally defective. I'm going to go a little bit further here. I firmly believe if you do have rights, you must exercise them in order to keep them. They're not just going to stay around, not in this world we live in. As far as this country goes, you wouldn't let an intruder into your home and allow them to keep your door wide open so a multitude of lunatics could come in and slaughter you and your family while they rob you of everything you're worth. And in essence, that's what I see happening in this country with our wide open borders and an intruder that's just going to let people that hate us and do not want us and hate our God in, and that would be our demise. Now, what can we do about it? I'm really seeing that the only thing people are really doing about it is talking about it. And I think that's going to have grave consequences because, doing nothing means they're going to murder your children in the womb. They're going to sell their organs. They will make your country a living, impoverished hell with no jobs, food, or money. Great famines will be brought onto you. There will be nowhere to run, and ultimately they will kill you in the end. If the other mentioned things haven't taken you out already, this country right now is the most evil country on the face of this planet. All right, some people are sitting around waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture. This is something personal with me because I just, it's... To do that, in my opinion, is ultimate self-destruction, as God's Word clearly and simply tells us of only two comings of Christ. And a pre-tribulation rapture would call for three. He's already been here once. He'd have to come again to get you and save you from the catastrophes ahead. And then in the end, he would have to come a third time to throw the Antichrist and Satan into the eternal fire. And lastly, all the people that already have plenty of people already gave their life for our freedom and liberties. For us just to sit here and do nothing to preserve them. As you're just spitting in those people's faces that have died for what we refuse to act upon. There are things we can do, plenty of resources. Even Dave Hodges says that our military only requires a 10% awareness needed for a military coup. We can gain so much if we choose to do the right things. It might be a physical confrontation that saves us. That might be the only thing that can save us. But everybody here, everybody's children is at risk. The rewards are great. The spoils would be good. We would even acquire an entire underground city built with our own tax dollars that we are excluded from in order to survive something in the future. But ultimately, I believe sitting here talking about it, doing nothing, watching them take this election from us, it's time. I believe it's time, and we need to get the ball rolling. A group of 20 is not going to do this. And what are your guys' opinions? Because that's what I've got. We need to physically fight, and yes, you can do that in a righteous manner, fully backed by God. But I do not think that the Lord condones us sitting here doing nothing.
I agree with that.
Can we stop the end times from happening? No. Does God want all this to happen to us right now? I think not.
Might it be that we're under judgment? Caller, I mean, might it be that this nation is under judgment for not doing anything for the last 40-plus years? Might it be that this nation is under judgment and about ready to enter the most chaotic time in its history since its founding or perhaps the Civil War? Might it be that only repentance and prayer can create the environment necessary for revival and for saving of this country? We can't change prophecy, but could it be that we could perhaps slow it down? Yeah. So
slow it down. Exactly.
Yeah, but if we do nothing, and I agree with you, we cannot not do nothing. We have to do something. We've got to play our positions. We've got to understand what our positions are. We've got to read our own mail. We've got to pray very feverishly about what we need to do.
Absolutely.
The fight's coming to you. You know, look, the fight is coming to every one of you. Those people who sit back and say, bring it on, you got no clue what you're asking for, in my view. You got no clue.
You know, and you know, this country needs a reboot. This government needs a reboot, and in my opinion, it needs to come from a Christian base. Our rights,
yes.
Everything that we have enjoyed was from founding fathers that had a Christian base. And we have allowed people to come in here and kick our God out and forbid him in this country. Now, I think we as Americans, we as Christians, we need to kick these intruders out physically. And we need to bring our God back in and keep him in.
That's right. And nothing is going to change. There, as Steve Quayle says, there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. We have a massive spiritual problem. Sean, God bless you, man. Thank you for the call.
We need to do things.
We need to pray, but we need to also be not passive but active.
We also need a waitress down here. I need some more coffee. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Where's our coffee machine at? We're going to go to Joe next in California. Joe, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you guys for doing your show. Quick comment or suggestion, and then a quick question for Joe Hagman. The comment is, I know we're against Big Pharma, but how about Big Pharma for our dogs, right, lady? I have two small dogs, and I've been using organic refined coconut oil for flea prevention. They've been using it now about 7 to 8 months, not one flea. Now, you might want to research a little more on ticks, because I know you guys live in Penn. There might be more ticks there. but I'm blown away. I went to the vet a month ago. He couldn't believe it. So they're pushing, of course, the harmful flea things that you put on the dog's neck and all this stuff. Those are
right. Never, ever, lady, the studio dog relies solely on essential oils and the soaps and nothing would, no, none of that.
And you clean her fur with your tongue, right?
I love it. So you guys don't use that stuff, you're saying?
No, of course not.
Great.
Just on Joe.
Because it was new to me, and I was like, I researched it. I said, I'm going to try it. Organic coconut, refined coconut oil has been working. So I just wanted your other audience to know that. And then
thanks for sharing that.
No problem. Just a quick question for Joe, and I can exit the phone if you guys need to open it up. I've heard you allude to a couple times, Joe, about something about, I mean, you've been in another conversation about another topic. You said something about, yeah, well, if the origins of our country are even the way they say. And you said it a couple times, and that, like, hit a red flag with me because, especially with the last couple of callers, everything's been about, you know, the people that, the forefathers and the people that came here. I'm of the belief, especially with D.C. and Parliament and Vatican City being three separate states from the country they're in, if you look at the D.C. flag, there's three stars. I think that they let us win the Revolutionary War so that we would be the labor force, or that our ancestors that came here would be the labor force. So I know that's going to freak a lot of people out, but it's just something that's crossed my mind. I didn't know if this crossed your mind, Joe, but you said something to that effect, and then you went on to like another topic.
I'm doing some investigative work on this, and we're really an old book from George Washington that I read from the 1800s got me started on this a few years back, and then having Chris Pinto on and checking out his video, The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, which is free on YouTube. I would urge everybody to watch that, because I don't think the country was started, the people who came here were Christians. The leaders and the reason for the country are not what we were told they were.
Yeah,
from my
investigation so far. I agree with mine too, especially with some of them being Freemasons and still having houses back in England. And the other thing, the big elephant in the room is 200 years is a short time. It's really like 2 to 3 lifetimes if you're healthy. Why are we so friendly now with England, who was our arch enemy over this land? 200 years is a short amount of time. It's a little too obvious. So I'm glad you feel that way, because I had a feeling you did, and I will definitely check out that video you mentioned.
Yeah, and let us know what you think, because I think there's a lot of information in there people would be very surprised to learn. Again, that's The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. You can find free on YouTube by Chris Pinto.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
Yeah, I think too, once we get to the real origin of, I mean, it's one thing to know, oh, government, this, that, but then I think, and 9/11 and such, but I think once people realize, God, maybe we really were not told what was right even about our country, and even prior to that with bloodlines and things, I think people are gonna really, it's gonna really shake their paradigm, you know, and it's gonna change. So,
I agree. Do we have enough time to really educate everyone? I hope we do. We need to. Folks, understand the connection between royalty, the Queen, the city of London, which is different than London proper.
Go back to Genesis 11.
And there you go.
Read about where the dukes and royalty really start. And I think if you look at Washington's lineage, there's a place in north, up in Germany called Bohemia, where some of his family resides from. hopefully I'll have more soon, a more comprehensive, even just a short article I can put together to point people in the right direction. But I think, yeah, like you said, we've not only been misled about the intention from the founding fathers of this country, I think there's a whole history behind this nation that we are unaware of before the founding fathers. So,
yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
How deep does the rabbit hole go, I guess, is the question.
A rude awakening awaits. A rude awakening. You guys rule. I love you guys. Take care, okay?
God bless, brother.
God bless you. You have a great night. Thanks for the call.
That was Joe from California.
Yep. We're going to squeak in one more call here before the top of the hour break. Priscilla from Missouri, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. You got about 6 minutes till the break.
Okay, oh joy. I'm so glad to talk to you guys.
Glad that
you
talked to. Well, yeah, we're glad to be talked to.
Well, I'm down here in southern Missouri, and I want to be a bright spot for y'all. It's just absolutely beautiful here right now. The dogwoods are out, and the redbud trees are out, and the azaleas are out, and it's splendid. So it's a happy time, and we're all up and down and roly-poly. So I went for a really long drive on Monday, went over to see my doc and everything, and it was just wonderful. Just had a lovely time. And so that's the bright spot. And I just want to say for Mike that bless his heart, you know, it's hard when you're alone, but I've been alone for a long time. I don't know, 25 years or whatever it is now, but the Lord is good and he takes care of you no matter what, seriously. I don't care what comes your way. You know, all of us have some pretty heavy loads to carry. I got my own going on right now with the big C, but they diagnosed me a year ago, but I decided I wasn't going to really let it unnerve me, and I just keep keeping myself as clean with my diet as I can, and they insist that I should have the surgery, etc. But I went, no, I don't think so. So I was diagnosed a year ago next month, and so I think I'm doing pretty good. And then,
you know, Priscilla, please contact Ted Brower at Health Masters. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I did. I actually talked to his wife, and she did encourage me to take black seed oil. But I have a naturopath here, and that's another good part of the story. I was looking for a naturopath because I, you know, well, when the blood comes, you have to go see the doc. You just have to figure out if you're anemic or whatever, and make sure you're not, you know, have an infection. And anyway, I was looking for the naturopath, and some people told me about this person, and I went, wow, I know that guy. But I had heard that he passed, but he hadn't. And we were friends like 35 or 36 years ago. And so, we found each other again. And so now he's my doc and he's keeping me in line and I'm doing really, really good. And the other thing is I wanted to tell you this great story about the RFID chip. I went to Lowe's to get some, I'll look around for some stuff because I got to do some work on my bathroom. And so I went in there and I just bought a very few items, but I didn't have very much cash, and so I was going to put it on my credit card. Well, I had punched the little RFID chip out of the card because I don't have a thing, you know, to cover it or whatever, and I don't want it in there anyway. And so I went up, and they had taken the card before and just put the numbers in, but the gal was kind of rude to me, and this time this gal yelled out, there was about six people in line, and there were all these other people standing around. She went, "No chip!"
That's your badge of honor. That's your badge of honor.
Yeah.
No chip.
So,
no chip, Priscilla.
No chip. So I said, she said, wow. We take these cards with no chips in them. And I said, well, you took them, you know, a week or so ago. She said, but not anymore. We were not allowed to take them without a chip. And I
pretty
said,
soon?
Okay,
that's right. And Priscilla, I didn't mean to cut into your time, but you congratulations. I mean,
thank
seriously.
You.
These little things that we can do, just like
exactly.
That, you know,
like
what
that.
Can we do? Let's just gum up the works a little bit. Let's not play their game. Priscilla, we got about 30 seconds, so go ahead and take us out to the break.
So anyway, I just said, well, you can have your stuff. You know, and I just left it there and headed out. But they're doing that now. And I bless you guys. I thank you so much. I've been listening to you a very long time. And so y'all take care.
God bless you.
So,
and we're going to be
take care, too.
and be praying for you for your recovery.
You have a great night, Priscilla.
I'm good. Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with your calls for our third and final hour on this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.